Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com and our study in James chapter 4 verses 7 and 8 titled, Resist the Devil, Draw Nigh to God. This is Pastor Greg inviting you to contact us using our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can send letters and donate to support this ministry using the U.S. Postal System. Please make any check or money order out to Bible Believers Fellowship and mail them to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also contact us and donate on our website, bbfohio.com. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study in James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, titled, Resist the Devil, Draw Nigh to God. This is part 1 of 2.
Our current events update, keeping it current. Headline reviews in the news. Number 1, the Democrat majority, their anti-Israel policies continue. Sunday I showed you some of the things that the Democrat Party is doing against Israel. And the GOP slams Democrats for defunding Israel's Iron Dome. How many of you know what that is? Iron Dome is they shoot down rockets as they're being shot at them. So logically you would think, well, that means they want the rockets to get through, evidently. And they were accused, it says, they capitulate to the anti-Semitic influence. Republicans slammed Democrats on Tuesday for defunding Israel's Iron Dome within a government funding bill. Make sure this is up. Yep. After several radical Democrats, which is kind of a misnomer, threatened to vote against the funding bill due to signing a resolution this summer to block arms sales to Israel. So they've been lining this up for a while and getting Democrats to sign their intent or their promise to not sell arms to Israel. And if we could see her dark soul, we would pray for this sad woman. She is pro-abortion. She is anti-Israel. She is behind a lot of the censorship going on, shutting down Christians off the internet. She supports the vaccination mandate. She's a nominal Catholic. She supports gun confiscation. She is promoting Marxist and socialist policies. This past week, she even said that capitalism has not served us well. She's pro-Sodom and anti-Christian. Is she a reprobate? I don't know. I mean, you don't know, I don't know. So what do? We pray for people like that. I have very low expectations of seeing people like this saved. But that's between them and God. And so number 2, hospitals, just confirming a question that's been asked me again recently several times. Hospitals are receiving increased payments for diagnosed COVID treatments, for government payouts, for Medicare, Medicaid, that sort of thing. This, thanks to the crack research of my cracked back wife. Just couldn't pass that one up. Yeah, I try to keep her laughing. It's good medicine, you know what I mean? But she provided me some of this information, all of it actually, I think. This is from a HFMA website that's all about Medicare payment and reimbursements. What is that? HFMA, I can't remember what that stands for. Do you remember? But good website, good source. Anyway, it says increased Medicare payments for COVID-19 care to stretch back to late January. So not only are they paying hospitals more, let's say you go in with a heart attack and then they test you for COVID and you're COVID positive according to the test, which isn't isn't even trustworthy. But they then list you as a COVID patient and they get more money. And that's going now retroactively all the way back to anybody who went into the hospital for any reason. You could have broke your leg. And if you tested positive, they get a bonus for listing you as a COVID patient. So that's why we tell you the numbers they're putting out for COVID patients in hospitals is exaggerated. They're claiming there's over 600,000 people die of COVID in America, and that's way beyond, more than double the real number. And I'm being very conservative with that estimate. So there is incentive to diagnose COVID, bottom line. There's an incentive to diagnose anybody going in the hospital, and that includes people who die, so the death rate goes up. This is from this article. CMS on April 21st will start to increase inpatient hospital payments by 20%. So let's say you go in, your bill is $100,000, and they test you positive for COVID. You're in there for a sprained ankle. It doesn't matter. They now get $120,000. And that's across the board. So you imagine the millions and millions of dollars hospitals are going to make off this.
Where are they getting that money?
Taxpayers. Taxpayers and the insurance companies that have to pay it into it, you know, because whatever they lose here, they make up there. So when they lose it here, they come after the private insurance and private individuals. And they then also get tax money for it. There's no such thing as free health care. Anybody who believes in free health care believes in the tooth fairy. Free health care, and I don't have to worry about saying that in present company. They're not taught that nonsense. So just in case you're worried. But the whole, it's just such a scam. And this has been verified, by the way, by numerous resources or sources. This is from USA Today. I decided to show you one. I could show a bunch, but for the sake of time. Hospitals get paid more if patients listed as COVID-19. And I didn't mention that they also make more if they put you on a ventilator, which is a virtual death sentence. Ventilators can be helpful, have helped people. That's why I tell people about all medicine, whether it's psych meds or whatever. There is a time where those things help people. The problem is they can't make money off of, let's say, 1 million people on it, so they put 10 million people on it. See the problem? Ventilators have their place, but if they can, instead of 1 million, I think there was like 160,000 available. If they can't keep all 160,000 on somebody, they're not making money. And so that's what they're doing. But the government news media deny this has resulted in the inflation of reported COVID deaths. So that tells you you cannot trust your government.
Yeah. Latest numbers from the CDC reveal hospitals have been counting patients who died from serious pre-existing conditions as COVID-19 deaths. One American, Pearson Trump, has more. The CDC counts over 51,000 patients who died from heart attacks as opposed to coronavirus.
Did you get that?
The Centers for Disease Control have updated their death counts for coronavirus and revealed yet again
updated.
That COVID-19 is rarely the actual cause of death among coronavirus patients. According to the CDC themselves, of the 220,000 deaths attributed to the coronavirus, 87,000 of them died from pneumonia and influenza. Another 17,000 died from chronic respiratory diseases, and 26,000 died from respiratory distress syndrome. 44,000 patients died from hypertensive diseases, 23,000 died from heart disease, and a whopping 28,000 died from cardiac arrest and heart failure. Yet all of these, even patients who died from heart attacks, were marked down as dying from the coronavirus. Doctors who spoke with One America News explained that 131,000 patients who are being considered COVID-19 deaths already had life-ending diseases, including cancer, dementia, and even end-stage renal failure.
We report, you decide. Did you get all that?
Yeah.
That is going to affect everybody in this country. Everybody in this country is going to be affected by that. It's going to affect your health care costs. It's going to affect your taxes. It's going to affect the economy. And on it goes. The ripple effects of this It is. We've jumped right into our Bible study tonight in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. We've gone verse by verse up to this point through James. And if you're there, we're just going to read verses 7 and 8. Read that with me. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And I'm going to stop there. There's a lot connecting the next few verses, but we'll pick up that next time. Before being told to resist the devil, I just want you to see there, what does it say? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. It's no use fighting the devil when you're not right with God. And today, I've seen this all my Christian life, 30 years plus serving the Lord and trying my best to stick to the book. But sometimes you think, well, maybe it'd be good to go get a little help from a book, you know. So I go to the different bookstores. I went to one down in Portsmouth, Ohio before I moved up here called Glad Tidings. And I found out later why my pastor called it Sad Tidings. And it's because so many of the books were from charismatics and people like that. So I was all about spiritual warfare. I mean, you think of spiritual warfare, isn't that an exciting topic? You know? So then you're thinking, ooh, a book on it. And I picked up a book by Neil Anderson, I think his name, Bondage Breaker. And I started reading it, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, this isn't what my church is teaching. So, you know, the church isn't my final authority, but it's a pretty sound doctrinal church I was in. So I started reading it. So I'd go and ask questions, and come to find out it was really based a lot on psychobabble and charismatic stuff. And for a few weeks, though, it caused a lot of confusion in my mind. But one of the things that I found as I've gone along through the years, even as I've read other books and other things put out by people, some good and some not so good, is that a lot of the time they don't put it in the order God does. They don't tell you about submitting yourselves, therefore, to God. That's like the first, you know, before you go to war, you go to boot camp, you go to other training, you know, and they drill and drill and drill, all that, before you actually go to war. Well, that's the way it is with God. That's why he's told preachers not to put novices in the pulpit, men who haven't grown spiritually, because they get puffed up and then they fall. And that defeats the whole purpose. Well, that's the same idea just about Christian living. Your daily walk with the Lord is your preparation for the battle to come. And how many times you heard me say, don't wait for the bad stuff to happen. Don't wait to be confronted with tragedy. And don't wait for temptation to present itself to get ready. You get ready now. Well, that has to start with being saved. You must be born again. You have to believe on the gospel. Having received Jesus Christ, you receive His Spirit. And having His Spirit, now you can understand His Word. Having His Spirit, you can now communicate with the Father. And that then is the beginning of your preparation for spiritual warfare. And so many people, everybody wants a shortcut. I made some popcorn before everybody showed up. Microwave. 2 minutes. That works for microwave popcorn. Amen. That doesn't work for your spiritual life. And everybody wants a popcorn answer to everything. And a popcorn growth, spiritual growth. And that's why a lot of people go to churches where, you know, they have the big emotional stuff. And everybody goes forward and and everything. Oh, you got it. You got it. You've now baptized full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, now I'm a... And they're still a spiritual infant. And they go out into the world and it's a disaster. So only by being saved and submitting yourself to God. Of course, as I said, you can't submit yourself to God if you're not submitting to the gospel. But beyond the gospel, you submit to His word when He tells you the things to do. And then, and only then, can we face the devil. How many of you know that most Americans who call themselves Christians today don't believe in the devil? They've done these polls, going around to different denominations and done a scientific sampling of the people, and something like 60% of the people don't believe in a personal devil. Most of the others say that it's a principle or something like that, but not a person. Well, how well can you fight the enemy when you don't believe they exist? It can't be done. And that's what's going on with too many people. So you can't resist the devil if you don't believe what the Bible says about the devil. Amen? But notice also, it does not say rebuke the devil. And I was taught that, not at my local church, but by other materials and friends. And then I got they got me watching some TV preachers and things. And they'd say, when that temptation comes along, you just say, I rebuke you, devil, and you, all this stuff. And I'll be honest with you, and you can kind of picture it in your head me doing that, but I did. I did what I thought that I was supposed to do. So I'd be walking around the house sometimes rebuking the devil. She's picturing it. And that's what babies do that.
Yeah.
I'm sure we could hear some real good stories because I've heard some of them. I've seen some of them of the babies here and the things they've done. And Matt's shaking his head like, what in the world? Do you have my DNA? I mean, why? Because they do some of the craziest things. But that's what babies do. And it's true about baby Christians. And that's why it doesn't matter how old a Christian is. If they haven't grown spiritually, they're still a baby. And you'll still see them doing crazy things. And it does not say rebuke the devil. The Bible never tells us to speak to the devil or devils. Did you know that? The Bible never tells you to talk to the devil. Now, what's your authority? The Bible. Now, you're encouraged to test what I just said. So when you go home, don't start right now, pay attention to the rest of the study. But when you go home, look in your Bible and find anywhere where you're told to talk to the devil. You won't find it. Scripture with Scripture. Even Michael the archangel never rebuked the devil. You know that?
Yeah.
Go over to Jude. We're real close to it. You don't have to turn very far. Jude in verse 9. Jude verse 9. Everybody there? Read that with me. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So even when Michael the archangel rebukes the devil, he doesn't say, I rebuke you, I'm an archangel, I'm the host, head of the host of the armies of the Lord, you know. That's what they tell you. They say, I'm a child of the king, and all this stuff you're supposed to say when you rebuke them. And it can be the devil or a devil, whatever the case may be. That's not anything anywhere ever told to you to do. Now, false teachers and their deceived followers, they'll teach this stuff, but they always speak from ignorance. Hold on a second. Look at verse 10. Now read that. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Now I'll just say this. It was 25 years ago when I got a hold of the reality that I shouldn't be walking around talking to the devil. Who do I talk to? His creator. And I call on the Lord and say, now if I think the devil or a devil or just a really wicked person or my own sinful nature, no matter what it is, God can handle it. You can't. When you start thinking you've got some, we watched this show once in a while, Highway to Heaven, and Michael Landon was supposed to be an angel, and Victor French plays the part of an ex-cop who's kind of hanging out with the angel. And, you know, it's one of those clean family movies or shows, but totally, you know, gets silly. But Mark will look at Jonathan, the angel, and he'll say, "Give me the stuff." Because he wants to show off and, you know, show him that, you know, he's not an angel, but he's friends with the angel. And the angel gives him the stuff and all that. And I just think when I see that, that's a lot of people probably watch that and they really believe that that's kind of how it is as Christians. That because we're Christians, if we just say the right thing or we're right with God and, you know, do the right thing, we'll get the stuff. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have just kind of daydreamed about the ability to walk up to people like Paul or Peter and to say, "Be healed, rise"? Wouldn't that be great? I'd be right down to Children's Hospital after I healed my wife. But that's not for this dispensation. It's not for us. It's just a sad thing, you know, in a way to think about. But get used to it and don't let some charlatan convince you that if you just had enough faith, then you could move mountains. Well, Jesus said that in a certain context to certain people, and I don't have time to get into all that. But you know, when one of these guys tell you that, ask them to demonstrate. Oh, I believe if you just have enough faith, you can be healed. Well, if you had enough faith, you can just heal anybody, right? If you had enough faith. So come on, let's go to the Children's Hospital, the burn unit. Let's start big. They never go there. They only go places where they can take up huge offerings. Big money. That's another thing they could do, yeah. I just want to show you an example.
He's this, he's that. And then maybe the devil said, "Well, yeah, but he's not that." And I said, "Yeah, but he is this and this." Let me tell you something. The devil's going to talk to you. You might as well learn how to talk back to him.
Hear that?
And I know there's people that think, probably people watching my TV, you think, this lady is crazy.
Yeah.
She is talking back to the devil. Well, all you got to read is Luke chapter 4. Jesus did it first. And I can do anything he did. The Bible says that the devil said unto him, and he said unto the devil. There's a lady that we have.
Most of the people you know who go to church, go to churches that teach that. And most, any charismatic Pentecostal church, 99 out of 100 teach that. Now, hold on. That's the problem. I just first want to tackle this comment. She said, "I can do anything he did."
She's crazy.
Well, I want to see her walk on water. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about raise the dead?
Yeah.
Can she feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes?
Right.
Can she make the blind to see? Yeah. And, you know, I'm legally blind one eye. Fix it, man. It's see what it's like to have 2 good eyes. That'd be neat. She can't die for your sins. She can't rise from the dead. If she's saved, and that's a big if she's saved, I just always try to say, you know, I'm not going to pronounce judgment on anybody. But I have my doubts. But if she's going to rise from the dead, you know how she's going to rise from the dead? It'll only happen if he does it. She cannot do everything he did. I mean, when it says raise the dead, every once in a while there's these instances where they'll go to somebody who's really sick and people say, "Oh, they're dead." And there hasn't been any legal statement or anything, and they'll say a claim they raised them. What I want to see is, you know, let's find that dead person, and let's just put him in the barn for about 4 days, like Lazarus. You know what I mean? Stinketh. Then raise them. There's never been a case of any of these charlatans doing that. But I also want to correct her. Jesus is God. Okay? This was a literal confrontation between God the Son, Jesus Christ, and Lucifer in each other's presence. This wasn't someone walking around the living room rebuking the devil like I did 25 years ago. You know what Jesus said? He didn't say, "I rebuke you," or anything like that. He quoted God's word. That's what you do. That's the right way to respond. When you have any kind of temptation or any kind of tragedy or whatever, you go to the Word of God. I've sat beside people who have lost somebody.